Hello friends, happy 2019 to all of you. I hope you all are doing super great. Today I have someone who is a man with a mission of making India employable. So much so that he wants to reach out to 10 million lives by December 31st, 2021. Isn't that unbelievable? 10 million. But believe me, he has an action plan for that. He seems to be just another boy next door, but with Herculean actions and determinations towards his vision. He has already impacted close to 20,000 people, that includes students, parents, teachers, professionals, with close to 200 plus workshops. He is India's first employability coach. Oh yes, with the trademark. So let's hear his story by him. This is your host, Priyadarshini Barek. Welcome to my podcast, Tutelage, where we talk to known and not very known, but very successful people in their industry, their struggle, their journey, their moment of triumph, and more. Thank you so much, Jogesh, for accepting it for the second time. In fact, I think the third time, when I lost all the recording, you know, allowing me to take the interview again. And I welcome you to my podcast, Tutelage, where I talk to people known and not very known, but very successful people in their industry, their struggle, their journey, and their moment of triumph. I'm really, really happy and thankful to have you today.
Thank you so much, Priyadarshini, and it's a pleasure to be here. And the recording, I know it's lost, but it's fine. I mean, you know, maybe there's something which is different this coming this time, and that's the reason it might have lost. I don't know.
I hope so. I know, I believe in things, you know, whatever happens for good.
100%.
So let's just start with how you started. And then I was going through your LinkedIn profile, and I see that, you were an accounting and finance student. You did your IFRS and ICWA.
Yeah.
And then worked with giants like TCS and JP Morgan.
Mm.
What made you to get into something from the scratch, leaving a well-paid job?
Yeah, that's a very good question, Priyadarshini. And let me tell you that, you know, it all started, I was very happy with the job, was at a mid-management position, had a team under me, 30-35 people reporting, getting handsome salary, everything was good. But, you know, there was something which was missing, and, you know, I was not able to get that level of satisfaction that I was trying to get out of the work that I was doing. And actually, I did a lot of coaching, teaching over weekends to the graduates and master's students. And I loved the subject economics. So I used to, you know, out of my passion, go and teach these students over weekend. And what used to happen is over the period of time, I was teaching them, and I realized that they're coming back with a lot of different questions which I even had at my childhood. Maybe choosing the right career, maybe to get started, where should I find a job, how should I search, how should I do a resume, and all those things were there. So eventually it led to a lot of questions that they had, and I was able to answer, and I was able to give them some satisfaction, guidance, motivation, everything. And that's what I thought, that you know, even in my team meetings, that was the pattern that I could observe. So I thought, let me try and do something next level. And today, I'm glad that I was able to quit my job and work on my own, follow my passion, and build a profession around it and spread the message to the world with what I love.
Right. Okay. So I have a question here. I was just listening through, and just another question pops into my mind is, you know, you always had this passion to teach people and all that. And you said, one of the subject that you loved was economics. So economics, right. Finance, and then working with big, companies. Conscious decision over a period of time to start off something of your own, or it is just that you were not very happy, not enjoying?
It would be mixed is what I would say, although it was a conscious decision, but I was trying to find something always. And when you are in that state where you're trying to find something as an answer to something, and you don't know the question, you don't know the answer, but you are just in search of that, okay? And that was constant, constantly there. And because that urge was there, because that need was there, and I was able to relate to what I am, you know, more of as an individual of mentoring, coaching, guiding, helping, all these things were common. And I could see this pattern coming, I thought this is something where I need to, you know, do a little more soul searching.
Okay. So it was a self-realization over a period of time, and then you wanted to take it ahead as a full-time.
Yes, and even today when I, you know, give this interaction with students, like 11th and 10th, I'm interacting with a lot of students in Somaya College in Mumbai. Even there, you know, I categorize the career into three things. One is where you are searching for a job, where it is not important what you do. What is really important is the money that you get out of it. Second is the career. What is career? Where you are little interested in what you do and you also earn money out of it. And you are very clear on 2 years, 3 years plans for you, the career progression that you're going to make. And third phase, okay, and which is really very important for students to realize is the calling. As to what exactly are you meant for? What exactly are you really passionate about? And you're not being getting money, you're not getting happiness, but you're getting fulfillment. Why? Because it is what you're actually made for. It is what you realize from behavior, from your nature, from your pattern that you see over a period of time. So as a fresher, okay, when I started in 2007, I was not aware about career and calling. I was only aware about the job, that you do work just to earn money and you do any job. So that's where the general tendencies of choosing
like
a career.
Us, yeah, I think most of us, 99% of us. Yeah.
Right. So it is like you're in commerce, you do CA, CWA, CS, or you go to banking. Nothing, no other option is that we're aware of. Art was a distance thing that you're below 50, you should go for arts. You're between 50 to 70, you should go for commerce. Above 70, 75, you should go for science. That was the categorization, I don't know from where, but that was the categorization which I had in my mind. And that's what probably the equation I was into for 10, 12 years, but glad that I could make that shift from job to career and career to calling.
Definitely. I think, yes, I think lot of us, majority of us, we are not aware, you know, the difference of our calling, our career, our passion, and somewhere, and what we choose to do for our living. I think there is a lot of ambiguity, and people are just not aware, and we just tend to go the way, you know, the path which is directed by people or by the society. We don't ponder on it much.
True.
Okay, so let's just talk a little about, you know, JJ School of Employability. When did this thought of starting up something as a school of employability came in?
Yeah, so JJ School of Employability was born in one of the program that I attended with Brigadier Sushil Basin, that was Train the Super Trainer in August 2016, okay? It was like 3 to 4 months program over a weekend. We used to meet every batch of 20-25 odd of us. And by the end of program, I was able to realize that whatever I'm doing, okay, and whatever I'm, you know, kind of liking to do is something which is aligned with employability. And it was, my job was on and I was working, and with interaction with Brigadier, I realized that, you know, it is worth starting on your own and doing the coaching and the mentoring. There is a backstory to it as well. I mean, when I did connect the dot backwards, I realized that yes, there's a backstory to it as well as to why JJ School of Employability, and like the Steve Jobs says, you always connect the dots backward. And when I connect those dots backward, I could relate to certain things which I had in my life. I had seen those things, and that's what probably my conviction and passion towards employability per se is more compared to other things which I'm really passionate about. I'm passionate about singing. I'm passionate about table tennis. I'm passionate about adventure sports, a lot of things. But the passion, intensity of passion which is there in employability is really, really way different from rest of the things.
You know, that makes me to ask you the next question, which is already there in my list, is out of all the topics, there are like multiple topics that you could have taken. You know, having said that, we also know that employability is a major issue. But out of all, why employability is something that you chose to take up?
Okay.
I think we would want to know the story, if there is any. Why only employability? The coaching can be of any. And in fact, you know, you have life coaches, you have career coaches, you have, you know, multiple other coaches. Employability coach is something very new. And why only employability?
Okay. So, okay, let me go back a little in the history, and I've not shared much about what I'm going to share in this episode, Priya. And I have very rarely, with very few people, I've shared this thing. So we were, you know, in 97, 98, I was in my 7th, 8th grade, and we were doing very big in our business at my hometown in Madhya Pradesh.
Okay.
We were in the top 3 richest in the city. We were doing well to do, and all of a sudden we got this news that one of the Mumbai based company, you know, where we had huge investment in our business, has got bankrupt. And that's like 4 or 5 CR in 97-98 loss that we had
back then.
It was so we were a joint family of approximately 40-45 of us, with my 7, 8, 9 uncle, aunt and children, siblings and everyone. We had a huge loss at that time. And since 97, we tried, because it was without guarantee given, and because it was bankruptcy, there was very rare chances, and there is an entire process which you have to go through, after which you receive the money, and all those challenges started coming in financially in the business. And slowly and steadily, it had an impact in a lot of areas of our life, right from thought process to the academic things that we, you know, go through, and all those things. So it was tough phase from, you know, 97, 98 to probably 2006, 2007, by when I got first job in July 2007.
Okay.
So 98 is where I was in 7th grade, 8th grade, and 2004 is where, you know, 2004 is where I went to Mumbai for my further studies from my hometown, and I did my bachelor's. I got campus recruited. Even that study, Priya, was sponsored by someone. So my graduation was sponsored by someone. I used to stay in a hostel of our community, and all those things were there. But 2007, July 2nd, is the first day I entered into corporate, and named TCS, and you know, I did my 1 month, and I was every day calculating ki agar mera 1.63 ka gross hai to mujhe kitna net salary milega after deducting PF and after deducting this, that, and
yeah, that's how a new joiner does. Yeah,
31st of July, last working day, you get your amount credited ka message at between 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. you'll get that message. Within that time, you know, I was checking my phone so many times that abhi aayega message, and as soon as that message came, and I was like, oh yaar, kitna amount rahega, and I clicked on the message and I saw 9,100 rupees credited. So happy, you know, to see that much amount together in so many years, probably credited to my account. And I, you know, went to the ATM and withdrew some complete amount, 9,100. I withdrew entire amount. After office, I, you know, went to station, took a ticket, 300 rupees of ticket, and I kept the 8,000 800 rupees in the envelope. And, you know, I was very happy, took my bag and sat in the train. I went to my hometown. I reached morning 6:30. I reached my hometown. I reached my home. I, you know, knocked the door, and it was a surprise to my parents. Oh, Jukesh, you, how come you're on a job? It's just 1 month. How come you here? I said, it's the weekend and I, you know, want to come and spend some time with you. Yeah. So they were also asking, did you get salary? How much did you get? And I slowly gave that envelope to my parents. And there was this 500 rupees note, okay, and a few of the 100 rupees note. And I gave to my dad. And my dad said, you call your mom also. I took their blessings. And they opened the envelope and they saw 8,800 rupees. And they were so happy.
Now, while you're saying all this, I can imagine the entire place probably. I'm just imagining everything. I'm getting goosebumps.
Yeah. And after so many years, you know, I saw that much amount together. And for a moment, my parents felt, now the challenges that we faced, difficulties that we have had for almost a decade will be over.
I'm sure they must be very proud of you then, yeah.
Yeah. And that is the reason, Priya, I want to be in employability.
Okay. Because I can understand the pain and where it is coming from now. I think, yes.
Because every fresh graduates, and the parents have expectation. And you know, now my days will change. Now I'll see a better version of life.
Sure. And now you are the first employability coach that India has, isn't it?
Yeah.
Made through. Yeah. The kind of situations you had actually led you to be the first employability coach that India can ever have.
True.
I think you should be proud. You should be the proudest.
Thank you so much. Yeah. And that is the reason you know, I always tell people to identify a problem that they've solved for themselves. Because identify something that they've solved for themselves, they're so convicted about it.
True.
That the passion, the intensity and the drive is humongous. And the output definitely will be far, far better. Far, far better than anything that you can imagine. So now JJ School of Employability is 2 years young. And we're proud to serve 20,000 plus students, teachers, professional, principals. We have clientele in 7 plus countries globally, do virtual sessions with them. And the best part and the best project that we've started 3 to 3.5 months back is Train the Employability Trainer, where the work that I am doing is now having other employability trainers on the content and research-based content that I have designed, because in most of the cases, the content that is shared is not research-based, and that's where the challenge is. Also, we have 14 employability experts across India, and we've completed 2 batches. Third batch is getting launched, and each of them are, you know, spreading in their own local areas to spread the message of employability and making India employable. That's the vision that we carry as a team.
I think great, and 20,000 plus already is it's already so huge. 2 years it took 2 years, 3 years for you.
2 years.
I think tremendous. I think tremendous job on this.
Thank you so much.
So this was the story that you told us before you figured out, you know, what you want to do and which led you to, you know, do whatever you're doing right now. After you figured out that this is the path that I want to go to, employability is one thing that I want to get into and make India employable. Tell us, what was your biggest challenge that you faced when you decided to take this path, leaving your well-paid job to till now? What was your biggest challenge?
I believe that challenges are part of any equation. And if you don't have challenge, then probably you're not heading in the right direction. So For me, there were challenges. There are challenges and there will be challenges. Okay. Few of the challenges are that there are the entry barriers to colleges. Okay. There are challenges with respect to you being so much of passionate about giving value and knowledge in making India employable. But youngsters today, are they ready to take the knowledge with the same intensity of passion? That's the question. Okay. So there are a lot of challenges that I faced, but eventually finding the way out is the,
only way.
Is the only way, right? So we did a lot of changes in the approach. We did a lot of, one of the things that probably we are doing now, and we got, oversubscribed in what we were doing.
Is there any lesson learned over this, 2 years of time?
Of course. It's every day. Every day you learn a new lesson. Few of the basic general lesson that I have felt are really important for anyone who wants to get started into his or her passion. Okay. There are 5 things which I normally share if you want to get success. Have a coach. Have a mentor. Have a coach who have done that, who have seen it for himself. Once you have a person alongside who have done that and seen it, the journey becomes easier. Why? Because he has done it hard way. So for you, it becomes a cakewalk. And the time that you spend is comparatively lesser. So in less time, you travel more. It's simple. When we were traveling without a Google map, and when we are now traveling with Google map, okay? Mm-hmm. Without Google map, it was like every 10 minutes we have to ask someone.
Right. Right.
But with Google Map, you just do it's the journey is seamless. So the navigation is the role which a coach plays in your journey. So that is lesson number one. Have a mentor, have a coach. Lesson number two is have a micro niche. How are you different is the question that I ask myself every day, even though I have identified employability coach as my micro niche. How am I different? And if I stop asking this question, I'll stop being different. And if I stop being different, I am general. I am not special. So for me, the second learning or the second, the best practice that I can share is that you need to have a micro niche identified for yourself and be a specialist in one specific subdomain and not a generalist.
Basically, instead of being jack of all trades, be a master of one kind.
Super. Yeah.
Okay.
Number three is build your tribe.
How do you do that?
Build your tribe means if you have delivered a session to someone, ensure that you're connected to them. So they say that if you want to become a millionaire, you just need 1,000 loyal followers.
That's interesting.
Right? So once you build your tribe and share a lot of content and value with them, they will not go anywhere else. Why? Because you are providing all the solutions to the problems that they might face. And more than that, it is the trust and relationship that these people will have with you as a mentor.
It's more or less like your followers or, they can trust you blindly and they can go by whatever may come.
True. Why? Because you resonate with them and they resonate more with you. So the cord within you are connected with them.
Yes.
So having tribe is really very important.
I think this is a very unique thing that you have said.
And then fourth, I've already mentioned that share a lot of value content with them. Share your valuable content with them. Okay. Because people will not pay for your content. Information is available. People will always pay you for your time.
Mm-hmm.
For the amount of time that you spend with them. Mm-hmm. Information is available even on Google. You do a small search and you will get hundreds of videos. So people will not pay you for the content. They'll pay you for the valuable time that they spend with you. That is really very important. Let me tell you one thing. You are not the creator of content. You are just compiling the content.
How profound.
And if you are compiling the content, why are you hesitant to share that?
I know this is some food for thought.
And I have seen that both the sides, because I was one of the victim of the traditional mindset that normally I have seen in trainers. And when I shifted after reading some of the Pound book, and one of which I have already, recommended you to read on the KPI, key portion of it is possible. Fourth step, sharing valuable content is really going to be game changing if you are free to share that content with your audience with the intent of helping. Yeah. Last but not the least, value over price.
Does that mean, you know, what is the value add that you are doing than what is the amount you're charging?
Right. So if I'm charging 10,000 rupees to someone, am I giving the value of 30,000 rupees, 50,000 rupees?
Mm-hmm.
That's the question I ask. And if I'm able to do that, you know what? You will be booked for entire year. Why? Because mouth publicity word of mouth is the only thing that happens these days in spite of our digital marketing and everything that we have.
I have been, one of the, I have witnessed that. So I agree with that because word of mouth is, is so credible that no other platforms can give you that much of credibility. And that comes with the trust and the experience, self-experience.
100%. Yeah. 100%. So as I said, first step, identify a mentor or a coach. Second step, build your tribe. Third step, share valuable content, and having all these individual players, individual steps in your overall equation will bring a lot of change in the entire ecosystem that you have. In last 5 months, I've grown from 300 to 3,800 as connection, and I've got 350 plus personal message on LinkedIn asking for my services.
That is really, really huge. And, it's unbelievable at the same time.
Yeah. So it is completely, people are waiting to, and if you cannot get customers in India, where will you get? You're one of the most populated country in the world.
Hmm.
And especially being in metros. Okay. And the best part of LinkedIn and webinar is that these two platform helps you to reach globally.
Yeah, there's no constraints. Yeah. And you don't have a team for doing this. You do it yourself, is it? How many hours do you spend in webinars and promoting yourself in LinkedIn? Or basically your promotional strategy or your marketing strategy? How many hours do you spend?
Daily, it will be 90 minutes a day. If you properly spend 90 minutes a day, is more than enough because. Even I was one of them. I was not aware how to create a LinkedIn profile and, optimize it. Forget about getting leads from LinkedIn. But I was not aware about the how-to part of it also. I learned it from my own experiences and through trial and error that I did. Okay. And I did watch a lot of videos on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
I read a lot of books on LinkedIn. And that's how I explored. Because what I believe in, and Jack Ma rightly says that you should do something today, which is the need for tomorrow. You should work on something which is the need for tomorrow. LinkedIn and webinar, okay? These two platforms, if you ask 100 trainers, coaches, consultants, or experts, out of 100, there will be probably 40% of them on LinkedIn, very active. But out of those 40%, there will be hardly 10% of those 40% who are doing webinars.
Yeah, not much. I mean, I think webinars are actively used only in multinational companies. Now there is a little awareness in India. It is making a little noise now in India, but 2-3 years back there was, I think not everyone was aware there is something like webinar and you can have your entire meeting and everything, get done through webinars.
I'm not doing anything else. I'm only doing webinars, web-based learning. So in last 5 months, I've done more than 60 webinars.
How is your approach to your webinars?
That depends. Every time there's a different strategy based on the objectives that I have for my quarter. Like Jan, Feb, March, I have some objectives which I'm trying to accomplish. Based on that, my webinar will be designed.
Mm-hmm.
Based on that, my content will be designed. So it is complete a reverse strategy that I, have for my one-on-one mentoring, my counselings, my TTET, train the employability trainer, everything is, executed via webinars. It's a web-based.
Super. I think you're running the entire show via internet.
Yeah, and it gives you a lot of
benefit. Yeah, of course.
Right. It gives you a lot of
flexibility
to operate. You can operate from, I work from my home office, the little home office that I've designed for myself. And there's no travel, no commuting, on a daily basis, and you're not exerted mentally and physically, so you have more time to think, reflect, strategize. A lot of benefits are there, and moreover, you have global reach. Yeah. People from US, UK, Canada, Singapore, Malaysia, Bangladesh, China, Tanzania, all these countries are connected to me, and I'm serving to them for their employability needs, doing one-on-one mentoring. So all these things are possible. You're able to reach globally only because of webinar as a tool. If, let us assume that I'm not doing webinars, I'm having only open workshops. I'm not doing webinar, I'm doing open workshops. My reach is limited to Mumbai or probably some of the metro cities in India. Dan Locke says really very well. He says you build your lifestyle first, and based on your lifestyle that you desire, you build your business.
That's interesting. In this day and age, the kind of pressure, the kind of work we have, it's you know, it take a big toll on your work-life balance.
It does.
But then
it
if
does.
You can design your lifestyle first and then your, you know, business or work, what else can one ask for?
True.
Thank you so much for sharing all this in detail. I think I was just enjoying everything that you, you know, every word that you said.
Thank you so much. That is kind of an appreciation to what I spoke. Thank you so much for that.
Okay. Now tell us, Jogesh, what inspires you to do so much? What inspires you to do everything that you do on a daily basis? And how do you keep yourself motivated?
Maybe the story that I shared, my why.
The reason behind, the sole reason behind doing everything inspires you on a daily basis to do it rigorously.
Yeah.
So you never have a dull, you know, a lull period, you know, where you don't feel like working.
I do have. Yeah. And what I do in that time is I do nothing. I just sit back, relax. A lot of videos that I watch on Netflix, and I enjoy it. I do nothing at that time. If I have any time, such day or something of that sort, then probably I'll just do nothing.
Okay, you let it be.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, you don't get harsh on yourself that, you know, these are the deadlines and I have to finish. There are so many people waiting. Because the amount of work that you are said JJ School of Employability is doing, you are doing, you know, so it is not easy to get so much in 2 years.
Yes. So, yeah, it took a little effort from my end. There was a lot of support from family yeah, it took a lot of effort, but yes, I'm glad that, you know, at the end, I'm able to do what I love, make some money, impact millions of lives, and live a purposeful life. That is really important.
Okay, so how does a normal day of Jogesh Jain's life look like?
Okay, there's no, you know, specific ritual apart from me making my son ready for this, leaving him to the bus stop and picking him up from the bus stop. This is normally I do on a regular basis, but apart from that, there are certain one-on-ones which are scheduled. There are TTT workshops which are scheduled. I have some me time in the morning. Apart from that, it is quite normal where I connect with a lot of new people on a daily basis. Yeah, I do connect with a lot of new people, talk to them, understand what are they going through. Major ladies.
Is there any you know, a daily habit that you have, you know, developed in this 2 years that has actually helped you to achieve whatever you wanted?
Not a daily one, but yeah, some of the habits is reading. One of the habits is reading.
Okay.
Two is reflection. So I reflect a lot on a daily basis. So what, where am I, how am I going ahead, and where am I going in the right direction? Because when you are into so many things, and a lot of ideas will come through, a lot of things that you would want to work on, and you taking the right decision of, yes, I will do this, I will not do this, will decide what will happen in coming future. How will your revenue look like? How will your reach look like? How many people, how many batches will you be able to make?
Okay.
So reading, number one, and two, reflection.
So when you reflect,
these two things are really very...
You know, so the reflection is also a very powerful practice.
shifted my focus from asking why to how can I do it better and what could have been done better to accomplish this as an objective. So asking those deeper level questions is something where you know, you get an answer, of course. You get that moment where you're so much of energy. You have that, you know that this is a time where I will be more alive or more active and energized and able to in reflection. Mostly. So for me, it is after 12 a.m. This is the time, 12 to 1, 1:30. I'll reflect. I'm not an early riser. I'm a late night guy.
I think, yeah, this is actually a nice strategy. You know, let the entire India sleep and let me sit down and reflect and run my business.
Yeah. So that usually, is again dependent.
Yeah.
On dependent on, are you a early riser or a late night? Yeah.
But I should try it in, you know, late nights, because I am also a, you know, like an owl. I work late nights. So I think this is a good idea that I can try.
Sure.
Okay. So you said you know, one of the habits that you have is that you have inculcated over a period of time, which has helped you big time, is reading books. So which are your, you know, top three books that recommend our listeners to read it at least once?
The first book that I would recommend highly is F.U. Money by Dan Lok. Number two is 80% Mindset, 20% Skills by Dev Gadvi. It's again one of my mentors.
Okay.
And third is probably The Millionaire Fast Lane.
So how does these books have helped you?
So it has brought a lot of shift in my mindset about a lot of things which I was thinking that this is how ideally it is. But it was reverse of what I was thinking and brought a lot of shift in my thought process and belief system.
All right. I think that is all I had. And I think there's a lot of things that I learned today. And I hope all our listeners are going to listen to it. And, you know, if they take away something out of it, would be great. And yeah, at the end, if you can talk a little about where we can find, you know, where the listeners can find you. I know Google does give us everything the moment we just put Jogesh Jain now. But then, yeah, you know, how can you be available to people if you can talk, you know, tell us?
That'd sure. Nice. So I'm available mostly on all the social media platforms, majorly active on LinkedIn, Facebook and YouTube. I have 100 plus videos, or approximately 100 videos on my channel on YouTube. So you can, you know, have some of my content there. You can, you know, add these are really value-add content. And second, probably you can, you know, reach out to my team on WhatsApp number 9930789161, and they will add you in my WhatsApp university where I share a lot of value. So you can be part of, there are 750 plus people currently, you know, taking benefit on a daily basis and, you know, learning from each other, learning from the content that I share. So you can be one of them. Again, 9930789161 is the number you can reach out to my team.
Super. I think I'm going to join the university.
Sure, you are welcome.
All right. Thank you so very much, Jogesh, for your time, for sharing, being so open about everything. Thank you so much. And I wish you all the luck for JJ School of Employability, for everything that you have your vision about making India employable.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. And thank you so much, guys, for listening out. Have a great day. Make today an employable day.
We will. I think together we will. So that was some candid conversation with first employability coach that India has. My takeaway is I'm going to figure out my niche and make a habit of reflection. Let me know what are you going to take away. And guys, I've decided to come up with 2 episodes in a month, so once in a fortnight. Let me know if you have anyone who is as inspiring and motivating, or anyone whom you want to know more about, anyone whose journey is inspiring. And I will try and get them for you. You can reach out to me in all the social media platforms at Priyadarshini Barik. Happy listening and a happier week.